And I will remind you after the service, even though I have been symptom-free Friday and yesterday, I'm not planning on mingling with people, so I'll be up in the front out of the way this morning. The sermon for this New Year's Eve is entitled, A Time for a New Beginning. And I'm using the lectionary passage in the New Testament epistle, Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'm going to read in chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 only, and you will see the appropriateness of this particular reading at this time of year and just at Christmas as well, as we have just celebrated the birth of Christ. Chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are God's children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, as we have come together this last day of 2023, we have had a whole year to learn how to love and to learn how to be your people. And yet, O Lord, we would confess to you that we have failed in so many ways in our relationships. We have failed to act in ways of kindness in so many ways. Help us, we pray, as we come to enter this new year. Help us to be the kind of people that you would have us to be as your children, as your representatives in this world. For this is a time for a new beginning. In Christ's name, amen. It may seem strange to you. It seems strange to me a little bit. I'm always interested when the high holy days of the year, like Christmas and Easter and other days in which we recognize a significant moment, a significant event in the life of Christ, that it also becomes a high secular day. And so today is New Year's Eve. And it seems strange to me that New Year's Eve should fall on a Sunday, but it does this year. It falls on Sunday. That, of course, is what today is. And many of you, perhaps, are looking forward to this evening, to New Year's Eve parties, right? Many of you are looking forward to staying up to the wee hours of the morning to celebrate. I won't ask you how long you plan on staying up, and I won't ask you next week how long you stayed up. But I know some of you will celebrate by watching television. That's what I plan to do if I can stay up that late. I like to watch that celebration in Times Square. Don't you, Gary? That's a wonderful celebration in Times Square. I'm reminded of some comedian years ago who said, I love it when they drop the ball in Times Square. And then he continued, because it reminds me how often I drop the ball. Many of us feel that way sometimes. If we're honest, we've all dropped the ball over the years, perhaps even in this past year, but tomorrow begins a new year, a time for a new beginning. And that's an important word to hear on New Year's Eve in Christ Church. God is all about new beginnings. With New Year's Eve on a Sunday, what an appropriate time to be in worship when we can ask God to wipe away all of our failures in the year that is passing, and then to turn and ask for God's help in the new year. Oh God, help us to keep our resolutions. Help us to keep our commitments as we enter this brand new year of 2024. Doesn't that sound odd? 2024. The new year is a time for a new beginning. And if that's true, then it may require some change in us. I like the cartoon about Charlie Brown and Lucy walking down the road on New Year's Eve. And Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "Lucy, are you planning on making some New Year's Eve resolutions?" And she turns and she hollers at Charlie Brown, "What? Are you suggesting that I need to change? What's wrong with me? What do you think's wrong with me? Well, how do you think I should change?" And so on and so forth. And she just lays into him. Perhaps you know a Lucy or two. But sometimes change can be hard. But perhaps we need a modification in our attitude as we enter the new year in some way. In some way. Perhaps we need a modification, not just of an attitude, but of our understanding. Perhaps we need an attitude of acceptance. Perhaps we need a change in our behavior as we enter the new year. Many people will make New Year resolutions about behavior, about eating perhaps, and some other things. The entertainer Steve Harvey, he's a character. He says it this way: "Folks, God's got a plan much better for your life than you have for yours. All you have to do is check in with him from time to time and see what it is." I believe that's what today is supposed to be for us, not only in worship, but this evening. As we think back at the year that is passing and we look to the new year, it's a time to check in with God. I really believe that. And I believe this new year that's about to begin can be a time of new beginnings in our lives in so many ways. But even in a time of new beginning, I have come to learn over the years that even in new beginnings, sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes they do. There will be times in this new year, even when we begin anew, there will be times of disappointment. There will be times of discouragement. There will be times of illness, even when we don't plan it on Christmas Day. There will be times of discouragement and even grief. I often say that to couples in the wedding talk at a wedding. I remind them that the ring marks this kind of time for them, a time of a new beginning, with grief and joy all interspersed. In the gift of life that we have been given by God, we come to understand that we oftentimes really will never have things on an even keel all the time. We are always going to have some ups and we're always going to have some downs. But during those down moments, that's where, if we take note of them, that's where oftentimes our greatest growth can be. This past week, after being in bed for those 3 days in a row, I felt that time had just been stolen from me. And then the next day, Thursday afternoon, I began to feel better. And Friday, I felt like a new person. And I thought to myself, what a lesson. Because there are so many people I know, so many people you know, who do not feel well almost all the time, or have an illness that doesn't go away, or a cancer that's not cured yet. Oh, to feel well again. And I learned through those 3 days the lesson of gratitude. Gratitude for health, for life, to be able to get up and do things in the way that we want to do them. That's a real gift. The truth is, we can all feel good when we have our health. We can all feel good when we have our finances. We can all feel good when we are in good relationships. But the real challenge comes when you get knocked down and then have to get up. And how we handle it when we get knocked down, even in this new year, in beginning again, That's where our spiritual growth comes from, God, often. And most of us are aware we need to make some improvements in our lives. Most of us know that. However, again, as Lucy would remind us, change is never easy, even when it comes to following through on a few resolutions for the new year. And you know the truth about those New Year's resolutions. Most people bail out with what they resolve to do in less than a month. There are some even who use this occasion to resolve to attend church regularly again. And I believe they're resolving to do that next Sunday, not today. And that's a good thing, right? I believe these words from the letter of Galatians will help us today in gaining a perspective we need in order to make effective changes that we may want to make in ourselves in the new year, that we really don't just make ourselves, but we ask God to help us make. God helps us in making those changes. Oftentimes we cannot do them without God, without God's power. But note the Apostle Paul here, he talks about the fullness of time. And today is all about that. The year is just full of time, like a bubble ready to burst into a new year. And this is what he writes. But when the set time had come fully, God sent his Son. The beginning of the new year is a great time. It's a set time. A set time to ask God to help us in our resolutions for the new year, in our attitudes for the new year, in our commitments to the new year, to help us to keep them. I like the story of Calvin Miller. Calvin Miller, he wrote over 40 books. He was a pastor, a professor, and a storyteller, and he's best known for a particular series that he wrote called The Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R, The Singer Trilogy. The Singer Trilogy is a mythic retelling of the New Testament in the spirit of kind of the C.S. Lewis, Tolkien way of writing. It made him very popular. And Calvin Miller tells the story when he was a very young pastor about visiting an old parishioner in his church. He was just a student pastor at the time, and the man in his church was near death. And Miller asked the sick old patriarch in his church, rather bluntly, he asked him this question. He said, "Do you think you will eventually die, Ralph?" Now, Ralph was 92 years of age. And Calvin Miller, he was only 20. But the old man replied to him, he said, "Yes, I think I will die. But more important than that," he said, "I think you will die too." He was taken back by that at 20 years of age. As a matter of fact, the old man didn't stop there. He continued. He said, "I am pretty convinced as well that everybody who is living is going to die, some sooner, some later. And what really," he said, "ultimately matters is have we been good stewards in the fullness of the time that God has given us?" And then he said to the young pastor, "Do you know what Psalm 90:12 says?" And he had to say, "I don't know." And the old man told him. The old man said, "It says, 'Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.'" And then the old man added finally, "There's not a New Year's Eve that goes by that I don't quote that to myself. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." And out of that experience, Calvin Miller, who wrote over 40 books again, came up with one rule for his life in just four words. And the rule was, time is a gift. Time is a gift. What will you resolve to do differently in this coming year? Think about that this evening when the clock strikes midnight. What will you seek to do, not just differently, but what will you seek to do better? How will you seek to be a different and better person? Remember, it's time for a new beginning. The Christians in Galatia, they were reminded, as we are today, about the passage of time. Paul again writes, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. A new time, it's a new time on New Year's Eve to check in with God's plan for your own life. But there's a second thing here that Paul reminds us of in his words. He reminds us here in Galatians, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, notice how he continues, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as his children. What greater thought could you have as you enter the new year to know and be told here in Galatians that you are a child of God? How many days do you wake up when the day dawns, and the day dawns only once? When the day dawns, do you wake up and you say to yourself, today I will remember I am a child of God? That's an important thing to remember every single day. It's been said that the problem with so many people today is they don't know really who they are. We can understand that. We have so much information at our fingertips, far more than any generation that has ever lived. We have skills and talents, as people always have, and yet oftentimes people set on just flat living, sometimes meaningless lives as if they were orphans in the world. I am a child of God. I am not an orphan. God has a place for me. Life can be lived so much richer and fuller in Christ as a child of God. I love the way it says, God has sent his spirits into our hearts that we might cry out, Abba, Father. It reminds me of the understanding that every person is created with a God-shaped space within them, and only God can occupy that space. And here we are told that God has sent his spirit into each one of us to cry, Abba, Father. No one can occupy that void within you that God has made except God, God's self in Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption, that we might be God's son or daughter. And so I ask you the question, do you know who you are? Remember this year to whom you belong. In all the ups and all the downs, there will be both. Author Steve McVeigh, he says it another way. He says that we are God's work of art. And he cites Ephesians 2:10. This is worth writing down. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And Steve McVeigh notes here that the word workmanship or craftsmanship in the Greek language of the Bible comes from the word poema, craftsmanship. And that's where we get the English word poem. And so what is literally being said here is that God has made you a piece of poetry on this earth. You are a heavenly poem. My friends, God has made you his children. He has adopted you from the law. We have failed the law, and he has adopted us as his children through his grace and made us a piece of poetry to be told to the world. It's a wonderful metaphor to remember in this new year. As I stand in this pulpit every Sunday, especially now after 18 years, I am aware still every Sunday of the tremendous opportunity that awaits me here to say a good word for Jesus Christ and a good word for the church. And this is especially true on the very last Sunday of 2023. There are no throwaway Sundays. Every Sunday is important that we are together. For this day, it will never, ever come again. It'll be gone forever. And so today, you see, is a great opportunity. This evening is a great opportunity for each one of us to embrace God as Father and to claim His Son as Lord of our life as we make a new beginning in 2024. The same is true of so many other opportunities that face us in our lives. There are many opportunities before you and me that are unique to us, and they may never come again. Do not take any of those opportunities lightly. And finally, I want to close with this story this morning. It's a popular story. It's about a distinguished college president who found some papers along with a poem in his wife's desk after she died. This is what she wrote. "Somewhere along my path today, a lonely soul will be. Dear Father, I pray, open my eyes, this lonely soul to me. Somewhere along my path before dusk, a lonely youth will stray. Grant me wisdom and insight, dear Lord, to know the right words to say. Somewhere along my path today, a child's bitter tears will fall. Attune my ears, dear Lord, I pray, to hear the faintest call. Somewhere across my path tonight, two aged feet will trail. Grant me the privilege, dear Lord, I pray, to use my two feet instead. Someone along my path today will need a cheering word. Someone a word of comfort. Someone a right for wrong. May I be the one so blessed today. May I be the one to see. May I be the one to hear and to go wherever a need may be." Wherever a need may be. Don't take time for granted or the years that come and go so quickly, and they do. Every day is the most important day in your life. And today is a day for a new beginning. It's good to say goodbye to 2023 and welcome in the year of our Lord, 2024, together in worship. That's good. That's good to do in worship. For today, especially, we are reminded how quickly time passes, and we are reminded in the fullness of time to make good use of our days. And it's good also to be reminded of who we are and that we are a poem written by God for others. Let us pray. Oh Lord and our God, we thank you for these moments together. We thank you for the opportunity before each one of us to choose to follow you anew and to take advantage of the opportunity now, for this is a time for a new beginning. In Christ's name, amen.